There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Daly, and this is Made With Love. As a pro diver, I thought I knew all about making the thing you love the thing you do. But en route to the Olympic podium, I found a new passion outside of the pool that helped me unlock my power within it. That passion was knitting. And you may think this sounds bonkers, but I believe knitting made me an Olympic champion. I've since swapped swimming trunks for slip stitches, pikes for patterns, and chlorine for cables. Knitting is a huge part of my life now, and I'm determined to help others do more of what they love too. So each week, a brilliant guest will be joining me to talk about turning passion into purpose, how they've made the thing they love a central part of what they do, and crucially, what lessons they've learned along the way. Hi, I'm Tom Daly, and this is my brand new podcast, Made With Love. My guest today is a self-confessed locomotive lover whose TikTok content has derailed the definition of cool, and we are all aboard. I'm, of course, talking about Francis Bourgeois, real name Luke Nicholson, but probably best known simply as the train guy. After reconnecting with his childhood love of trains, he did what any 20-year-old would do during a pandemic. He made a TikTok. What started off as a way of celebrating a quirky passion and spreading a little joy in the process has turned Francis into a Gen Z icon with his own Channel 4 series, a book, 2.7 million TikTok followers, and thanks to a fashion campaign with Gucci, he's brought railway memorabilia to the masses. It's no exaggeration to say it's been a wild ride since he first strapped a GoPro to his head in 2021. And today, we're going to find out all about it. I can't think of a better guest to talk about celebrating the things that bring you the most joy in life, even if he doesn't like Thomas the Tank Engine, but more on that later. Francis, I'm so excited to have you here. How are you doing?
Really good, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
We actually saw each other recently because we filmed the Christmas special of your show, Trainspotting.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a wild day. I mean, I had no idea. So I learned so much about trains and a new level of appreciation for like just being able to get on a train and actually understand a bit more. But yeah. Where do we start off? We started off...
London, Victoria.
We got on the Belmont, right?
Yeah, we started in Stewart's Lane Traction Maintenance Depot, which was really quite exciting as it's like kind of a behind the scenes look at an area where a train spotter would never be allowed usually.
Yeah.
But we went through all the different carriages, didn't we, on the Pullman?
Yes.
And saw all the different Art Deco sort of design features.
It is. And for people that don't know what that train is, it like goes all around the country, right? And it's like an amazing dining experience. And it feels like it transports you back into another world almost.
Yeah, one of the carriages is designed by Wes Anderson. Yes. So you do feel like you're in a bit of a movie set. You feel like you're in the 1930s, you know.
Yeah, and then the nice thing about when we were out train spotting, we weren't just light spotting trains, we did all sorts. We even got on space hoppers.
Yeah.
we had a couple of injuries even.
Yeah, I still have a lump on my forehead from the GoPro lens smashing into me. But I think that's what's so lovely about the show. It just kind of leaves it open for these random funny moments to happen.
Yeah.
I once jumped on trampolines with my brother on space hoppers, so I thought that was a good link in for the episode. But, you know, it's quite a tenuous link, but I feel like it worked out.
It worked out, and it was good fun. And then we ended up, and this was my worst nightmare, was in the middle of Waterloo Station. singing with like carol singing with an actual like full brass band.
Yeah.
You were hitting those high notes. you were going for it.
I tell you what, it was probably one of the most terrifying things I've done. Just kind of thinking, right, I just have to do it. I'm not a singer, but I feel like the high notes were achieved within a few kind of, I don't know what this classification of like tone is. I think cents. I was within about 10 cents away from the actual note I needed to produce.
But I also learned so much about you, because I was talking to you about my son and his love for Thomas the Tank Engine as well, and how we like to watch Thomas the Tank Engine. And I was like, oh my gosh, you should be a voice for Thomas the Tank Engine. And you have an interesting relationship with Thomas the Tank Engine, right?
Yeah. Well, I've never really gotten into Thomas the Tank Engine. And when I had the opportunity to as a child, I kind of turned it away because trains with faces don't exist in real life. And I am someone who loves realism as a child. I just draw roadmaps in my spare time. For example, the route from my house at the time to my granny's house, I'd just draw the road route.
Oh, really?
Just because I liked replicating it. So in a sense, having a face on a train was like breaking down this realism obsession I had, and I didn't really engage with Thomas the Tank Engine at all.
Wow. So we need to get like a new kids train show for you that has no faces on the trains.
Yeah. Well, I feel like each train has a face anyway. I mean, the Class 91s in King's Cross are a lot more kind of like handsome and sort of square.
The jawline.
Yeah. It has a very, very nice square jawline, whereas the Azumas, they kind of look like they're being stretched.
Have they got like a big nose almost?
Yeah, like a long nose. Kind of imagine if someone's head's being put through like an elasticated material and being pulled back. Yeah. Kind of like that.
So, like, because each, like, I guess you can, especially if you're seeing trains every day and you're wanting to go around, each train has its own personality,
indeed,
has its own traits, and it looks different. Is it, what is it about trains that you like the, before we get onto like the feel and the sounds, what is it you like about the look of them?
There's something about the look, and there's something about the kind of the dynamics of trains themselves, the way that they're on tracks and you can see exactly where they're going to go. There's something in there that's comforting and reassuring for a lot of railway enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Kind of having that predictability and kind of knowing what's going to happen next is warming and comforting for a lot of people. But the trains themselves, how they look, I like all the different metal features, like the tactile seats.
Yes.
I'm hoping, actually, to... Class 315 is being sent to the scrapyard, and I'm hoping that I can get the door release panel from one of the doors before it's shredded.
And what will you do with it? Put it in, like, your room? It could be your front doorbell.
It could be, but I'm thinking of putting it on a jacket.
Oh, I love
that. And then you can press, like, open and close, and then I can then go, you know, if I'm sort of opening up to someone, they can press the button and then I can start opening up.
I love that. I mean, I get it. That's the jacket what you want. I think you've introduced so many people to train spotting, because I think for the longest of time, and it's similar with my knitting stuff, like people have this stereotype of what a train spotter might be or a knitter might be. And I think it's so cool to see you take it to that next level. Like, how did you even begin with trains in the first place? Was it like as long as you can remember or later in life?
Yeah, when people say, where does it start? It started right at the beginning for me.
Mm.
And that's the kind of the only way I can remember it. My parents didn't drive, so we got the train everywhere to school. I remember going to the O2 Centre in Hampstead Heath to see the massive aquarium, well, massive fish tank. And like all of these things we get on the train. So yeah, as a child, I loved cars, trains, planes, everything. And getting on the train was like the real pinnacle of this kind of engineering-y mechanical obsession. So then, yeah, it just grew from there. And it's been a constant throughout my life.
And how was that at school, like being a train spotter and being so into your trains? Like, was there anyone else at school that also enjoyed it?
I didn't want to show people that I was a railway enthusiast. People knew that I was into my cars because, you know, I felt like it, you know, it's a bit more cool.
Like a bro thing to do.
Like, Oh, yeah. Have you seen this, like, Honda with this K20 engine? Did you hear the VTEC on that? Oh, yeah. And then the thing was, I would go back after school and watch train videos on my iPad, and that would be my release.
Mm.
I didn't make it like a sort of a public thing at school, just because I felt like it would be something that would make me stand out and be a point to like kind of push.
Mm.
And I feel like that's what I found at school. It's just a real sort of hotbed for conformity.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to stick together just so they don't stand out.
Yeah.
But, you know, throughout I realised that what was my real passion before with my model railways and trains had been pushed under, and it wasn't being released or sort of exercised in any way. And then that pressure then sort of blurted out at the other side of secondary school.
Yeah. I mean, how were your family with it? Were they supportive of your, like, train spotting journey?
Yeah. They certainly dealt with the early stages quite nicely, because I had this massive model railway at one time that was on the dining room table. So we'd have dinner kind of with around this model railway in the middle.
Do you still have it?
Unfortunately, during my sort of suppression stage, I actually sold my model railway, which is a big regret. But I have one now that I'm building up again.
Okay, I bet. Like, I feel like you need like your own room for all your model railways, yeah, to be able to create a whole setting for it. Like when I was younger, my dad used to make these model railways as well, and have these plaster cast things with tunnels, and he was an electrician as well, so you would like make lights light up, and it was this really intricate thing. So and now even my son Robbie, he loves being able to put together all of those train tracks and being able to create all these different routes, because when you look at a train map, it looks so incredibly complicated. All of these trains leaving at different times, how are they not going to overlap each other? What happens if one runs late? It's quite the operation.
Yeah, definitely. And Brio, what it sounds like Robbie is playing with, was like the starting point for me as well with like my model railway building journey. So I think aged 4, I got my first Hornby train set, and then that kind of grew and grew and grew. And I feel like led me down sort of an engineering-based path, because it was like really inducing that sort of creative process.
Mm. For me, it's not only the fact that you want to find trains, but how do you know where they're going to be, when they're going to be there, what these different class types are going to be in certain stations? Do you find it on an app?
Yeah, there are different websites that I use, one called Live Rail Record, the other called Traxi. And with the two, the former being like a list of what's going to happen during the day, and then the latter being a diagram of what's going on currently. And you can like see all the sort of spidery networks sort of going out. And this is like one of my favourite things to do, just check through and see what's going on. I'm hopefully going to Bath Spa this afternoon to see Clun Castle, which is a steam locomotive that was built in Swindon. It's running from Bristol Temple Meads to Solihull. And I saw that this morning. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel when you see a train that you've never seen before, or one that you love?
Well, it's just, it's real exhilaration. I saw Sir Nigel Gresley recently, which is, it's a beautiful, beautiful locomotive. It's the first time I saw it, basically. And as it was sort of powering through the station, I just went, oh, God. Like, it was like a serious, like, holy, you know.
Yeah.
There was like steam like flying out the side of it. And it's just like, in the moment, I'm not thinking about anything apart from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And it's just like a complete sort of sensory overload.
Yeah.
Like I get massive like kind of tingles and goosebumps up and down my body. And I guess a similar feeling for folks who aren't railway enthusiasts is going to like a live music gig or something where it is sort of pure euphoria around.
Yeah.
And the main sensory stimulant is actually the sound.
Okay.
And in the same sense, when I go to a live music gig, I'll get the same goosebumps that the sounds of the railway give me.
Yeah, and I also think when we were together, you were talking, I learned lots of new words. One being thrashing, and those sounds, the engine makes as it goes. And there was something about the way that the pitch kind of gets higher and higher the faster the train goes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And bashing.
Bashing.
That was another word that I had no idea.
Mm.
Can you explain bashing to people who don't know what a bash is?
So bashing, the term bashing kind of originates in the late 70s and really kind of grew in popularity during the 80s. And it was purely to ride behind a locomotive or ride on a train just for the sake of being on that train and enjoying the moment. So it was particularly focused around the class 37. And this locomotive has like the most amazing exhaust note, and it would be growling and thundering, and its nickname is the Growler.
Wow.
And there'd be groups of people who would find where these growlers are running, and then they'd just ride behind the locomotive all day and just like have a good time. And they were the bashers.
Wow.
And there are still, you can still bash to this day. You can bash in your own particular way if you want. For me, it's on a class 455.
That's what we went bashing together on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We went bashing last week on a train, and I had no idea what it was. I mean, we rode on it only for 10 minutes, but I feel like you bashed for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I've done a London to Guildford recently. I did there and back, four times behind 455, 856.
Wow.
Which has the loudest traction motors and is the best unit to bash.
I love that. And also, it's not just the fact when you're bashing, it's also the sounds that you have also been able to start to develop into, like, a love for music as well, right? You love electronic music and using those sounds, because I know that you've got lots of ideas in the music space of what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, I think, like I said, with the sounds of the railway, they give me the same sort of stimulation that music does. I'd love to combine the two, both in music and also in live spaces, one of which, the 455 Club, where a class 455, I hope, can be turned into a nightclub.
I would love that. That would be. Would it be a moving one?
Mm. The train will run at probably around 30 miles an hour, so it's kind of at a safe speed.
Okay. It'd be like the boogie bash.
Mm.
Everyone would be bashing and boogieing.
Exactly.
I literally think people would love that.
Yeah.
And it could even be like you go and have your dinner, and then you move on to the party part, and then you go and have your recovery part. And you got some beds in there, and everyone can have like an overnight little trip. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah. I feel like with sort of festivals and stuff like that, people travel to festivals on the train. Why not let the train be a part of the musical experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're riding a train, is it enough just to see them, ride on them and experience them? Or have you ever wanted to actually drive trains and learn to actually be a train driver?
Yeah, massively. I mean, the view that I've never seen up until recently was the view out the window where you can see the tracks up ahead.
Yeah.
I actually rode in 73962 Dick My Butt recently.
The what one?
The class 73 called Dick My Butt. It's operated by GB Rail Freight.
Okay.
And we went from Tunbridge to Peterborough, and it was just the light loco by itself. We went through Kensington Olympia, up the sort of, and then up onto like the North London line through Willesden Junction.
That's like one of your like OG stations, right?
Exactly. That's where it started for me, Willesden Junction. And the whole way I was just like spamming the horn at the people on the platform. Because I put on my Instagram story, I said, guys, I'm going to be in this locomotive going from Tunbridge to Peterborough. And I posted all of the stations that I was passing through in the particular time.
Oh, fun.
And then it was so amazing to see these like groups of people on the platform going, "Way!" And then I was there in like the second man seat, which luckily has a tone lever in front of it. And I was going,
They terrify me, though. When we were standing, when you were waving at some of the locos as they were going by, and they make the tones, they're called, right? Tones. It literally made me jump every single time because they're so sharp and loud.
Yeah.
And everyone sounds different, right?
Mm. Some of the older horns are sometimes really hilarious. Like they're very squeaky. And once I was on the platform at Gloucester Station, it was about 6:50 in the morning, and there was a class 37 going to Lydney in South Wales. And I had no kind of expectation for any kind of horns or anything because it was so early. But this class 37 was approaching, and it just erupted with the most amazing tones. And it was like a really deep, like Chewbacca-y kind of...
Oh, wow.
It was like a... And then it did the high tone and went... Like that. And then...
Love.
And then he held onto the horn again and then did the high tone again. And then as like the ultimate thing is getting like a Doppler effect horn. So basically as the train passes by, it held onto the Chewbacca-y horn and it went...
Oh, yeah.
And then I was just... I couldn't help but laugh. I'd love to play the video. It's on my Instagram, actually.
Okay.
I can find the video.
I'm going to get it.
Okay, I'll do it like this so you can
God,
see.
God, yes, I can see.
Here she comes!
I see what you mean. That Chewbacca noise, I get it now. You're so good at being able to replicate it as well. I just love how passionately you speak about trains. And you can just see you light up when you start talking about it. And the thing is, you bring all of that joy to everyone as well through your videos. And like you say, when you're doing your journey and you could actually go through stations and seeing people light up and be so excited to... You've transformed what train spotting is, and how has that been within the train spotting community?
People have taken it in different ways, because those who are train spotters, I say, once you're bitten by the train bug, it never goes away, and it will always be a part of your life in one way or another. So for a lot of railway enthusiasts, they have their version of railway enthusiasm or train spotting that they hold very dear to their heart. So that might be writing numbers down at the end of the platform or taking very carefully shot videos. And I'm kind of taking my version of it and showing everyone, you know, that this is train spotting for me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just letting go and really releasing my kind of inner child in a way.
Yeah.
And being there with the trains and not caring and sort of filming my reaction. And for others, that's not their version. And they, I feel like for some people, they're quite annoyed by the fact that, you know, people might say, oh, I'm a railway enthusiast. They're like, oh, you're like Francis then. It's like, no, I'm my own version of, you know, I have my own version of railway enthusiasm, and that's, you know, doing something different.
Yeah.
So I have met people who have said, you've made my life at work hell.
Oh.
Because, and I say, oh, why? It's like, well, you know, everyone thinks I'm like you.
I actually saw your train spotting episode with Jesse Lingard, and it was interesting to see you open up about what you thought the train spotting community thought of you and how everyone has a slightly different reaction.
Yeah.
But I do think it just fills so many people with such happiness. And like you make people's day, which is,
aww,
is it, honestly, it is. And it was very nice to see you open up about the challenges and like the ways that you get pulled apart with it a little bit. And if anyone hasn't seen that episode, I urge them to go and watch it.
It has to be said that like 99% of the railway enthusiasts in the community are lovely, amicable, welcoming, open people.
Mm.
And the amount of times that I've gone train spotting, you know, where before I would have been by myself, I now have someone who's like, I love your videos.
Aww.
Can I have a picture? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then we end up talking for 10, 15 minutes about trains.
Yeah.
Sometimes even we go on the journey together to like chase the train or something.
Aww.
So yeah, it has been really nice to see the sort of overwhelming positivity from the community.
And also, it must be like you started the TikTok, what, 2 years ago now?
It was February, March 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, so nearly 2 years.
Wow. And in such a short amount of time that your life has like completely changed. And like you must have had some pretty surreal moments with since doing this, right?
Yeah. Every day, like I'm just so kind of perplexed by what's going on, and also very grateful and thankful for like the position that I'm in. And that's really kind of owed to the people who have supported my videos and watched my content. So, you know, when I see someone in the street and they say, can I have a photo? I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, that's just the least that I can do to sort of say thanks in a way.
What is, would you say, one of the most surreal moments that you've had over the last just under 2 years?
There have been quite a few. But, I mean, there are some that spring to mind, like going to these amazing Gucci shows in Italy.
Yes.
And even in the same room once as Rihanna and A$AP Rocky.
Wow.
And there I was with my GoPro camera going, what's going on?
With your scooter as well.
And my scooter. And going on stage at Sam Fender's gig, that was insane. Wow. I didn't even look at the crowd because I was too like, oh.
Oh, my gosh.
But also, like, the Channel 4 thing coming out is something that it's kind of just been a bit of a dream, because I've always loved making videos from, you know, such a young age. I made sort of little camcorder videos with my brother, and I've always loved making people laugh and making people feel good. And for it to be sort of taken on board by such a great company like Channel 4 and put out there is just the most insane thing. And last night, when we'd had like a little, we did a little screening of it, and sort of stood up and I said, yeah, thank you so much to everyone. And I'd really realised that moment that this had all happened.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, it's so special. And I mean, when you first started doing videos with your brother, like what were in, were they train videos from the beginning or?
Oh, it was crazy. Some of them were, we used iMovie on there.
Yeah.
And you could, it has like a standard setting where you can create your own movie trailer.
Yes.
And one of them's like a really creepy kind of, one of the, like a really creepy horror film one. And we're on holiday in Devon. And the premise was that Ben's home alone and I'm like this intruder who's like broken into the house. And then we filmed this whole scene. And then it goes right up to the top floor of this little house we're staying in. And he kind of, he looks out at this open window. And then he sees me coming behind going, and then the next scene is where we put Ben's clothes onto like some pillows and like sort of put it all together and then chuck this sort of mannequin thing out the window.
Okay.
And then we filmed from outside. So it looked like Ben didn't know what to do and just launched himself out the window.
I mean, it sounds like you have a career in Hollywood as well as a filmmaker. Do you like horror? Is that horror movies? Like, it sounds like quite like thrillery type things that you're interested in.
I think it just has the kind of the most space for these sort of comedic moments to happen.
Yes, it's true.
I feel like a rom-com trailer perhaps isn't the sort of the funniest setting for a 12-year-old and 10-year-old budding filmmaker.
It does sound like more fun to dress pillows up and throw them out the window.
Yeah.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, one thing, every time I see you, you always have. I mean, I love your style in the first place.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks.
The Gucci North Face collaboration, it was just incredible. But you always wear something very subtly and very coolly around trains, whether it's like a seat print of a scarf or socks, or you've got your Southern Rail hat on.
Yeah.
Is that something that you make a conscious effort every day?
I think it's just kind of by kind of probability. I'd say about a fifth of my clothing is somewhat rail related.
Yes.
So in choosing an outfit in the morning, there will be an element in one way or another that's tied into the trains.
I love that. But no Thomas the Tank Engine t-shirts.
No. But I feel like there's definitely space for Freddy the 465.
Yes, that is going to be the new show, Freddy the 465. I guess they don't talk. Well, they just do tones and subtitles.
they would definitely have to talk, I feel.
Yeah.
But it could be in like an announcement voice.
Oh, yeah. And maybe it's like the train driver is the one that's talking rather than the train itself. And then they just tone back.
Yeah, maybe. But speaking of announcements, I don't know if you remember, but when we were filming our Christmas special, there was an extremely rare occurrence that happened both in London Victoria and Clapham Junction. They were testing the evacuation alarm.
Oh, yes.
Which sends shivers down my body. I was thinking about the announcement in my flat the other day, and I actually debated calling my girlfriend because I actually felt like a bit scared. So the announcement is,
could Inspector Sands please report to the control room?
Like that. And they say Inspector Sands. Like, who's Inspector Sands? Is it like this...
Is that like a code for something?
Yeah. And then there's like a really scary kind of... And then they'll say Inspector Sands for 1 minute. And then they'll say, please can you... I can't remember the exact words, but it's like evacuate the station immediately kind of thing. Wow. But they'll always give an Inspector Sands minute lead for the railway staff to basically prepare. And Inspector Sands actually comes from, I think, this, I read this online, it may not be correct, but they used to use it in a cinema. So instead of people panicking and like leaving the cinema, they'll say, please can Inspector Sands, da 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 da. And Inspector Sands is somewhat related, I think, to the fact that sand would have been used to put out a fire.
Oh.
So that was like the code.
Because I remember you telling me about the sirens and any kind of alarm, really. Mm. Like, is it like the bass that you feel and like the way that the
I'm
sound...
I'm getting goosebumps
goes, yeah.
Now. I'm just thinking about the sound. It's weird. Like, it's like a... What it is kind of like the boomy kind of echoey voice and also like the sort of connotation of like fear with it. Specifically like the tsunami and earthquake warning sounds. Really eerie, but yeah. I have a whole sort of playlist of videos on YouTube that are sirens.
Oh, really? And yeah. You just listen? Let's circle back a little bit, because you went to the University of Nottingham and studied mechanical engineering. How was that?
It was great. I met a very good friend of mine called Luke, and he was my sort of train spotting partner during university. And we went to these like areas like Toton Traction Maintenance Depot, Attenborough Nature Reserve. It just became like my friends at university knew I was into my trains. Like that's what was like such a nice feeling for me.
Yeah.
They accepted me and loved me for being a railway enthusiast.
And going from being like having to feel like you had to like hide it or like not be at the forefront of everything you do. And then to have that university experience, was that because obviously mechanical engineering that involves lots of different things, but you find your like tribe almost, you find your people.
And there were two occasions actually where I was talking to Luke about where we're going to go, and I said, and we were talking and we were in the lecture room just before the lecture was starting, and I said, oh yeah, we should definitely go to Toton because they've got all those class 60s lined up. And then someone on the row in front of us said, do you like trains? And then we're like, oh yeah, cool. And then in another instance, we were just having some drinks in a field in the University of Nottingham campus. And I was talking about trains, and the guy was like, yeah, I volunteer. I think it was the East Lancs Railway. He was like, I volunteer there. And I said, oh, what's your favourite locomotive? And he said, Class 58. And if someone says a Class 58, that's when you know they are into their trains.
Oh, really? Is that like a very rare one?
Well, it was a workhorse from like the sort of 90s, a little bit into the 2000s. And they quickly were sort of taken off the line just because they were inefficient. But they were nicknamed Bones because like in a typical bone shape where it's like slender in the middle and a bit sort of bulky at the end. Yeah, you can really spot a pure, true diesel head if they say they're like 58s, because not very many people know about class 58s even.
Yeah. Have you been surprised about how many people have gone on this railway enthusiasm with you? Because, you know, for me, like knitting is quite niche, and I would consider train spotting and railway enthusiasm to be quite niche. But it feels like once you get into that community on social media, it allows that whole community to come together.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing because there's a real sense of a new generation of railway enthusiasts coming up. And I don't think I'm playing a massive part in bringing them up to be into sort of railway enthusiasts. But I feel like social media as a whole and showing how cool trains are has allowed people to see, oh, I can go to Wellingborough Station to see this train. Oh, maybe I'll go. And it is that sort of bringing together and sort of finding your kind of clan that I feel like is giving this this generation sort of a real sort of turbocharge. And it's, you know, you're seeing some really sort of young sort of budding enthusiasts coming up and really keen for the passion.
What would you say is the one of the big things that you've learned over your train spotting? Can I call it a career? I don't know. Like, I guess it is like some kind of career, or like your passion. Like, what has it taught you?
Goodness. I think it's taught me how valuable having a passion is, and also how valuable it is to just be mindful and have a moment where, you know, you're just sitting on a train bridge and not thinking about anything apart from a train coming. Because before, after university, I worked briefly, and you know, most of my day was just pure work. And then I'd come home and be, oh, so exhausted, go to sleep. And there were times where I'd go to this specific bench just outside Portsmouth and watch the trains come in. And one time after work, I decided to go and sit on this bench for 2 hours. I made sure I left work on time at 3 o'clock and went straight to the bridge. And I was just waving at trains. I didn't care. I was waving at trains for ages.
Oh.
And I was a little bit embarrassed initially because, you know, I was just sitting there by myself waving at trains. But actually, I ended up laughing at myself. And then in laughing at myself, I ended up just laughing and just waving in general.
Yes.
And I walked away from that sort of 2 hours feeling so enriched and happy, even though I'd had a knackering day at work.
Mm.
And it made me realise how important it is to have that part of people's day, you know, whether it be knitting or train spotting or even just watching a film.
There's something so special about being able to have your life, whatever you're doing in work, and then being able to go and look forward to getting home to be able to go and do something that you're really passionate about. For me, like you say, it's knitting.
Mm.
And for you, it's going and finding trains or learning more about trains online. But where do you see your railway enthusiasm going? Like, what's the end goal? Like, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
Oh, I've got so many ideas that I just want to execute.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm still going to be making my train videos just because, you know, that's what I live and breathe. I want to get into nightclub spaces.
Yes.
And there are lots of buildings in London that I've seen, and I've thought, oh, that would be really
cool. We spotted one, didn't we? Like a warehousey type glass space on the top. Was that near Battersea?
Queenstown Road.
Queenstown Road.
If they snatch it up and turn it into a nightclub, that'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
If it's turned into flats or office spaces, that'll be quite sad.
Mm.
But I see myself going into that and then just really exploring different forms of creativity. Mm. Like, I love doing sculptures. I'm really keen on conveying how I feel machines and other mechanical things have a personality and feelings. So I want to sort of deconstruct like parts of an engine or moving mechanical things and then just like run them really fast, like, and then maybe sort of play like sounds that sort of match up to this motion. Like, you know, when you I don't know if you ever chucked a brick into a washing machine.
I can't say I have.
But how it kind of goes and like everything falls off and like rattles apart. I feel like if that was paired with like really insanely grungy guitar and just, it would be a interesting installation. I'd like to experiment with that idea.
I love that. I love the fact that you're taking the sounds that are quite like, you know, intense and then adding other things to them to then actually make them more like, wait, why do I kind of like this?
Yeah.
Because I know we spoke recently about what you would do with music in terms of taking like train tones and the sounds of engines and building it together to form music. So do you see yourself doing a bit more of that?
Definitely. My brother Ben is an extremely talented electronic musician, and he has so much potential that just he's basically sitting on like a catalogue of these amazing tracks that he hasn't released up until recently. He's actually just released 5 on Bandcamp under the name Summer Houses. And with Ben, I want to explore like the music side of things, but I feel like he can give me some like musical guidance. Yeah.
Yeah, the relationship you have with your brother seems really special. Mm. Like how it all started out and is now like you want to continue working with it. Like me and my brothers, oh my gosh, we drive each other absolutely insane. I have 2 younger brothers and I can't imagine being excited to work with them in that capacity, if I'm being totally honest. But do you live near each other then? Do you get to see each other often?
I feel like I'm in the position I'm in now because of us coming together during lockdown. And when we came back together, it was as though we were 8 and 6 again, or 12 and 10, and we were making videos. We did some wacky stuff. Like, We made a song about a local quarry. We made these little sketches. Like when I first started using Zoom at university, I then did like a spoof version with my brother where I was an engineering lecturer and he's the student. And I was on Zoom in my bedroom and he is on Zoom in the kitchen. And I was sort of taking him through his like false kind of engineering drawings. I was like, you really overlook these bearing calculations. And then basically in the background, my kind of fake baby starts crying. And I basically just press play on like this baby crying sound. And I go, and I shout to my hypothetical partner, Harriet, Harriet, the baby. And go and get the baby, I'm on a Zoom. And then afterwards I said, I'm sorry, Ben, it's really not the right time. And then I get up. And I'm just wearing underwear.
God, the classic Zoom underwear. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I also, you were telling me as well that you quit your job, right? Mm. What point throughout your TikTok videos did you then decide that you were going to quit your job?
I handed in my notice end of October 2021.
Wow. So that for those who don't know what you did before, tell us a little bit about what you did and how that felt to just be like, you know what, I'm going to pursue my passion.
Yeah. So I was there on my engineering placement at Rolls-Royce Motor Cars, and I was an assembly engineer, so basically just helping the people working there make their lives as easy as possible in putting the cars together. And I felt really sort of empowered to make changes and like recommend things and just like think as a like creative engineer, and it was really good fun, but it didn't really allow enough space for train spotting. And I realized around October time that all of these amazing opportunities were coming in, and one of which was riding in 73962 Dick My Butt. And I realized that this was like an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And we arranged it for the weekend, but it was like a bit of a push. And more of these cool things were coming in. And I thought, do you know what? I think I could do it just full time.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my family. I spoke to my girlfriend and I thought, I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to risk it.
Commit.
All.
And then did you get to bash Dick My Butt?
Yeah. I was in the cab.
Yeah. Then does that mean like the front bit, driver bit?
Right up at the front.
Wow. That must have been pretty special.
Yeah.
Wow. So on the podcast, I think it's really important to appreciate where we are in our lives and the support that we got from when we were young all the way through, significant places, significant people, and the people who made you with love, right?
Yeah.
So I asked you earlier to write a little letter to someone, something, a place that is of particular significance to who you are today. And I would love for you to read it out. And first of all, tell us who it's to.
So this is to Willesden Junction, Platform 5.
Okay, go for it.
Dear Willesden Junction, Platform 5, you are the overhead line equipment to my pantograph, the DC power supply to my third rail, the insulating pot to my third rail, the chewing gum to my seat moquette pattern, the emergency brake to my tree on the line, the Class 142 pacer to my branch line, the tone to my train spotter. You are the air conditioning to my central line in the summer, the ERTMS signalling system to my Cambrian line, the clag to my Class 66 in need of maintenance, the mind the gap to my embankment, the rail replacement bus service to my engineering works, the ultrasonic test unit train to a crack that's yet to be found. You are the foundation to my inner child. You are the best station on the overground.
Oh, that is so sweet. Willesden Junction, Platform 5, will be honoured to hear that. Like, you should write that up and put that on a plaque on the wall there.
I think after this, I'm going to go to Willesden Junction, just get on my hands and knees on the platform and just talk to the pavement and recite it.
You should recite it. And what is it about Willesden Junction for you? Why Willesden Junction?
Well, it's where it started for me, and it's where my first memories of trains came from, specifically Platform 5, because you have this wonderful view. You have the overground line running across, and then down below you have the West Coast Main Line, so you have Pendolino shooting by, back in the day, Class 86s, 87s. You would have had Silverlink 321s, and then you would have had Silverlink 313s along the top, and then a scrapyard kind of over past the West Coast Main Line, and then Willesden Traction Maintenance Depot over there. So it has everything that it is like a perfect picture for a railway enthusiast, this platform. And it's a very special place for me, yeah.
And that was a very special letter.
Oh, thanks.
And before we finish up, I've got a little gift for you.
Really?
You've been sharing your passion with me, and I'm going to share my passion with you. I've got a little scarf knitting kit here
for you
to be able to make your own scarf and learn to knit. And if you need any tips, you know where I am. I mean, I'd love for you to, if you give it a go at some point, make sure you send me pictures because those are some chunky knitting needles there we got for you. Yeah. A lovely bright scarf.
How do you hold them with two hands?
Yeah, so you have like one in each hand and then you transfer stitches from one needle to the other.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's very therapeutic and I thought it'd be a great thing for you to do while you're waiting for trains.
Yeah.
In between trains, like, you know, and you can like do the ASMR of like the needles like going for it and the, You like the train sounds, that for me, that gets me. That gets me. That is my, like...
Does it send goosebumps down your spine?
Oh, it does. Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great. That is great. But thank you so much, Francis, for joining me on Made With Love. It was so much fun to get to speak to you. And for everyone listening, make sure you go and check out Trainspotting on YouTube because it is just... To see Francis share his passion with the world has been so inspiring and brings so much joy to so many people around the world. So thank you so much. And of course, a huge thank you to you as well for listening. Please do join me again next time on Made With Love when I'll be speaking to another famous face about making the things that they love a driving force in their lives. Made With Love was hosted by me, Tom Daly, and produced by Emma Roberts for Spiritland Productions. Our engineer today was Ed Gill, and our assistant producer is Nadine Peters. I do hope you can join me next week, but until then, make some time for what you love, and I'll catch you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.